The following podcast is sponsored by Financial Sense Wealth Management. To learn more about our investment services, go to financialsense.com or give us a call at 888-486-3939.
You're probably aware that Congress passed a massive stimulus bill called the CARES Act, $2.2 trillion, and there might be more funds coming down the road. Well, what does this mean to you if you are having a pension plan, you need to access your IRA 401k plan, or you're taking, mandatory distributions? We're going to talk about that in today's program. Joining me on the program is Jamie Hopkins. He's Director of Retirement Research at Carson Wealth. Jamie, just why don't we start out in just a brief rundown of the SECURE Act that was passed in December of last year, because now we almost have two back-to-back laws that are impacting people's retirement.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for asking about that. So the SECURE Act, you know, passed right at the end of December. And, you know, for me, as somebody who lives and breathes retirement planning, I was kind of joking with people saying it was an early Christmas present for me. And I pretty much have been working on that nonstop up until about 3 weeks ago. And then all of a sudden we, you know, things started changing again. So when we think about the SECURE Act, it's setting every community up for Retirement Enhancement Act. Sounds really nice, but what did Congress essentially agree upon there was a tax revenue bill. And so we had a fairly substantial change to a lot of retirement planning pieces at the end of 2019, most of them going in effect to 2020. The two biggest pieces, if we're going to just try to focus quickly on two really big things that everyone needs to know about, is first, changing the required beginning date for a required minimum distributions, your RMDs, those forced spending provisions around your IRA and 401k from age 70 and a half to 72. And then the second one, which was really the big tax driver of the bill, was removing what we used to call the stretch provisions, the ability for your heirs to stretch out payments from your IRA or 401k when they inherited the accounts. So taking that away and having 10 years to distribute the account across the board for a lot of beneficiaries. Those two things, very big changes, just kind of getting, you know, our heads around those, getting companies and individuals up and running. And then, you know, the coronavirus and pandemic obviously has started to change things again.
So let's talk about this CARES Act that was just passed and how this is going to impact, let's say, individuals that turn 72 this year have to take a required minimum distribution, or, for example, turn 72 last year and now have to require to take a minimum distribution. Let's talk about the relief.
Yeah, so a big piece of the CARES Act is really just trying to get relief out to individuals. Some people are calling it a stimulus, but really it is a relief bill. I mean, the economy is getting very injured, right, by the corona pandemic, individuals, healthcare events, all of that. I mean, this is really a healthcare event and global event, not so a market or economic event. But one of the big pieces of relief was essentially just suspending required minimum distributions across the board in 2020. So if you hit 70 and a half last year, or this year you're hitting 72, or you were already, you know, you're 86 years old, it doesn't matter how old you are. Essentially, they said, look, no required minimum distributions in 2020. It's not a push off. So it's not saying, hey, you're going to have to take two in 2021. It essentially just across the board inherited accounts, your accounts, suspended RMDs. Now, most Americans, about 80% of Americans, according to the IRS, take out more than the required minimum distribution every year. Why? Because they're using that money to get by in retirement. However, if you're one of those people that, you know, really what this does is says you can take out however much you want this year, right? We're not going to force you to take out a amount, but if you need the money, take it out, spend it, right, to help with your living. But we're not going to force you to take out money this year.
And Jamie, one of the reasons they might have done that is something we call in retirement sequence risk, because when you saw what happened to the market, I mean, from February 12th to March 23rd, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 38%. I mean, I haven't seen anything like that. Was this one of the reasons behind this thought? Maybe trying to, let's say, give people some relief so they don't have to liquidate things when things are down quite a bit?
Yeah, so that's a big piece of it. And what you brought up, right, the sequence risk or sequence of returns risk. And what that really is when we have down markets, right, is the time when we don't want to sell our investments, right? So right now, we're right in the middle of that where we had a big drawdown from the top, you know, from 29 down to 18 at one point. And whenever you're watching this, it's moving more than 1% every day right now. So it's changing rapidly. A lot lot of volatility. And so part of this was, hey, look, let's give people some time, if they can, to ride out the volatility so that they're maybe not selling and being forced to take taxable distributions out of their investments during this volatile time period. So perhaps in a year from today or the end of 2021, things have stabilized, the markets, the volatility's calmed down, so you might not be selling some of those assets during a down time period. So that does provide some relief and flexibility for individuals from the retirement accounts as it relates to, you know, market volatility.
Let's talk about something else that came into play with the SECURE Act. Is they changed the IRA stretch rules. So let's say a surviving spouse leaves his or her IRA to the children. They have to take out that IRA over 10 years, doesn't matter how old they are. Another part of that act is if you don't have a direct beneficiary, there was a five-year rule. How did the CARES Act change that provision?
Yep. So kind of tying two things together there. The first one was, so if we're leaving it to non-spouse beneficiaries, your IRA to your kid who's 25 years old, 30 years old, doesn't, as you said, there is a little bit of under the age of majority, but leaving it to your kid, they have to take out 10 years after the year of death. They have to distribute the entire account. So what that means is the first year that this is effective was January 1, 2020. So if somebody dies this year, the kids are going to fall under the 10-year rule. However, 2020 would still be a distribution as if the owner was alive. So you die this year, we still have one last distribution as if you were alive. That has been suspended by the CARES Act. So that distribution will not have to occur. Then the 10-year distribution time period will start next year, 2021, and still run 10 years. So essentially, because there will be no 10-year provision starting with the counting of the first year in 2020, that really didn't get impacted, but the deceased owner's last RMD is suspended for 2020. Now, the next piece is, you said if we don't have kind of a direct beneficiary listed, or it's going to a charity, a corporation, a non-pass-through trust, or your estate. So those are generally the people we're talking about as beneficiaries. If you forgot to fill out the beneficiary form, might pay to your estate. They're required to distribute all the funds within 5 years. So this year, they said essentially, hey, look, if this year is one of those 5 years, you get an extension of an additional year. So essentially turning, even if that was last year, the year before, 3 years ago, and we're in that five-year time period, that will be extended out an additional year. So essentially turning that 5 year to 6 years because of this coronavirus relief inside of the CARES Act.
Now let's talk about a situation where, let's say, a lot of RMDs, Jamie, come out at the beginning of the year. So let's say you turn 72, so you want to take your required minimum distribution. So in January, your trustee, whoever's administering your account, sends you a check in January. Can you roll that back? Could you put it back and basically nullify it?
Yeah. So this is, Jim, one of the questions I've probably been asked, probably top three questions I've been asked this year. And the short answer is no, there's nothing in the CARES Act that directly gives you relief from a early 2020 distribution, the ability to put it back. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean we don't have options, but there's nothing inside of the CARES Act itself which says, hey, you can just undo that. So the first answer is you take a distribution from a retirement account for RMD or for any other purpose, it's still a distribution. Okay, that's step one. Now, step two is it within 60 days? If it's within 60 days, we can do a direct IRA 60-day rollover. And if we do that IRA 60-day rollover, we still have 60 days to put it back into the same account or another IRA and not have it treated as taxable income. Now, traditionally, right, required minimum distributions can't be rolled over. So then people were thinking, hey, I can't roll these over, but there are no required minimum distributions for 2020. So a distribution within the last 60 days is eligible, most likely at this point, to be a 60-day rollover. Now, another problem with that is we only get one of those a year, and a year meaning a 12-month time period. So if you had already used those up for some reason, or you have multiple distributions in January from multiple accounts, it could be hard to kind of backfix that. Now, if it was early January or 60 days had passed. Last piece, so that's one option, right? One option is we're within the 60 days, we might be able to fix it. I would also recommend contacting your IRA or 401k or advisor about this, because some of them built in, right, quarterly or monthly automatic distributions. There are some that do automatic distributions November, December, if you haven't met it. These employers are not required to change the way that they're doing these distributions. So you actually have to be proactive as the individual. Last piece, and I know there's a lot to unpack, right? So last piece here is there is something called the coronavirus-related distribution exception. This might allow some people to actually repay distributions from an IRA or 401k that came out in 2020. There's a lot of kind of minutia around this rule. This is brand new. It's part of the CARES Act, but essentially says you can repay distributions in 2020 if you needed that money because you, your spouse got diagnosed with coronavirus, or essentially you were financially impacted because your hours work, something was cut back. So you are going to have to show some type of economic impact from work. So if you were a gig economy worker, driving an Uber, renting your house, Airbnb, you know, you lost some economic income, you might be able to use this. If you really weren't working at all, I think it's going to be hard to qualify and repay the RMD. We'll see. It's also possible that the IRS says, hey, look, if you took out an RMD, you didn't need it, we'll let you put it back in 2020. I don't expect that, but it's not impossible the IRS could do something like that later in the year.
There's a rule in effect that if you take out a distribution from an IRA or a retirement account below age 59 and a half, there's a 10% penalty. How did the CARES Act change that?
Yep. So that's in relation to the piece I was just talking about. So that's that coronavirus-related distribution. That really does almost three different things. So the first piece of that is it says, hey, look, you can take out up to $100,000 from your IRA or 401k and not have it subject to the 10% early withdrawal penalty tax if you are below age 59 and a half. Now, if you're above that, you don't have to worry about it. The second part of that coronavirus related distribution exception says, look, if you take the money out in 2020, you can repay it within 3 years of the date you take the money out. That's the second piece. The third piece is you can actually spread the taxable distribution of up to $100,000 that you take out in 2020 over the next 3 years. So you could put it in 2020, 21, 22 to kind of spread it out. So it really does three different things. And, so this again is giving those people who are 50 years old that might need to tap into retirement funds to get by in 2020 because of coronavirus, right? So they're going to give them some access without penalty tax, the ability to spread out the taxable nature of that, and the ability to repay it if they can over the next 3 years.
And then I guess a final one is there's something called a QCD, which is referred to as a qualified charitable distribution. What changed there?
Yeah, so generally speaking, the Secure Act, which passed the end of 2019, and the CARES Act, generally speaking, did not really change the rules around qualified charitable distributions. The general rules about qualified charitable distributions are once you reach age 70 and a half, you can take up to $100,000 from an IRA, send it directly to a qualified charity. That amount will offset any required minimum distributions for the year up to the amount you send, and will also not be treated as taxable income whatsoever. Now, fast forward, well, what happened? One, these are often used to offset required minimum distributions. Well, there is no required minimum distribution in 2020, so that benefit of the QCD is not on the table. Part two, and this will continue past 2020, is the QCD age is still set at age 70 and a half, not at the new required beginning date of 72. So at 70 and a half, while you can still use a QCD in the year in which you turn 70 and a half, it will not offset any required minimum distributions because there won't be one owed for that year. So that's kind of where QCDs sit. They can still, if you're thinking about giving money to charity in 2020, often can still be an effective way to give because the money that comes out is not included as taxable income. So it's especially if you're in standard deduction filer, this is essentially a way to get a tax benefit over 70 and a half, have an IRA, give to charity. There is an important thing to add on to this. One of the things the CARES Act added was a $300, not a whole lot, but $300 per person above the line charitable deduction for cash gifts in 2020. Simply put, give $300 in cash to your favorite charity. You will be able to deduct that, regardless of if you're a standard filer or itemized.
And let's talk about something else that's very important. It's, you know, one of the big impacts of the coronavirus, especially with quarantine and staying at home. A lot of businesses have been shut down, Jamie, whether you work in the restaurant business, the hotel business, the airline business. Here in my own state of California, if you're a non-essential business, which is just about everything besides grocery store and medical, you're shut down. So people are out of work. And if you're a business owner and you have furloughed your employees, but you want to keep them on payroll, let's talk about the relief. I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $350 billion where you can apply to the government and get reimbursed and forgiven to cover your payroll, rent, and other essential cost of running a business.
Yeah, so this is one of the more important features of the CARES Act, this relief act that Congress passed, which you mentioned, about $2.2 trillion. $350 billion of this goes to one particular program called the Paycheck Protection Program. And so if you've been watching the news, you've probably heard about this. And so what is this exactly? It is essentially a forgivable loan that will be directed through the small business group out from the government to local banks and national banks. And you'll actually do the lending through the bank, and then they'll essentially go through a portal in the backside. So you'll be applying with your local bank, your national banks. So you apply there, you can get 2.5 times your average monthly payroll from the past year. So that can be pretty substantial, up to $10 million. If you use that over the next 8-week period, once you get the loan and for payroll, retaining employees, as you mentioned, paying mortgage interest for your business, rent, utilities. If you make those payments over the 8 weeks following it, you can actually have this forgiven, right? So, and this forgiveness alone, it actually doesn't count as taxable income from this either. So this is a really big piece. The whole goal of this from the federal government is to keep those employers intact so everyone's not unemployed, that the businesses don't fall apart. It's really, you know, the whole idea is this is to bridge this next 8 weeks, 2 months to keep payrolls intact. And part of the requirements to have this loan forgiven is you maintain, right, your employees and payroll. So it's a huge bill. It's a huge undertaking from the SBA and the government. Interestingly, $350 billion, as large as that sounds, still might not be enough money here. You know, we've already seen kind of the Treasury, and then today a couple senators come out and say they might have to go back and get more funding for this. But the government has been really committed and honestly moved fast on this economic side. It rolled out last Friday, I think it was April 3rd. Companies could start applying. Sole proprietors, independent contractors will also be eligible for this, but not until the 10th. So again, this will run through June 30th, assuming that they have enough funding for it. But you really should, if you're a small business owner, look at this, see if it makes sense for you. I mean, it's a fantastic program, right? As I said, not a whole lot of strings attached. It's the ability to 2.5 times your average monthly payroll costs, up to $10 million, use it over the next 8 weeks to maintain payroll and have the loan forgiven. Even if you didn't have the loan forgiven, it's a 1% interest loan for the next 2 years. So it is incredible. Favorable even from a loan perspective, but most people are going to go under the forgiveness part of this loan.
So let me just clarify. Let's say I have a monthly payroll of $100,000. I'm thinking of laying off some workers because, I don't know, let's say I run a restaurant, a dry cleaner, whatever it is, we're shut down. So I have a payroll of $100,000. Under this law, I could apply, let's just give an example here, let's say 2.5 months. So if my payroll is $100,000 a month, 2.5 months, that would be $250,000. I could get a grant from the government. And if I maintain those employees, it's forgiven. Is that correct?
That's correct. And there's one of the big pieces about this, they don't need to be working right now, right? So even if you're shut down and you're not working, you continue to pay them their salary. They're at home, right? And the whole goal of this is to say, hey, look, in 8 weeks, hopefully we're in a better spot. You've maintained your business. We're going to forgive this loan and your business will be kind of intact enough so when the economy is ready to get back up to speed, we can. They don't want everyone going on unemployment. There's unemployment additional benefits in this bill too, but they're trying to keep businesses intact here. And that's exactly as you explained it. We get that money, we make the payments, we keep our payroll intact, even if they're not working. Now, if they're working part-time, you know, I've suggested some things to people like, you know, perhaps hold some of that payoff to the end of the 8 weeks. And then so I've worked with a construction company, they're probably operating 10 to 15% right now, right? Most things are shut down. But in 8 weeks, right, you'll at least have a backlog of salary that you'll be able to pay out. So maybe you get 10 to 12 weeks now, right? Because you get these next 8 weeks through the PPP program. Then you have your backlog of compensation you've generated from this group working, you know, very minimally. And you get another couple weeks during that time to get a little bit more of a window. So it can provide a lot of relief. You got to be smart about how you're using it, right? It's not just one of those things you just want to grab the loan and go buy a bunch of stuff, right? That's not what it's designed for. It's designed to maintain payroll. You can pay utilities and things like that too, right? To keep the business up and running. But more than 20, you can't have the loan forgiveness aspect of this as more than 25% to non-payroll items. So that's a little bit funky on how they're going to determine that. But again, just think 75% of this loan, if I want forgiveness, is going to need to go to payroll of maintaining my employees.
So let me understand this. So let's say that going back to my example, I have 100,000 payroll each month. As long as I keep all of those employees employed, I send them a check, even though they may be at home quarantine. If I send them a check, do not lay them off or furlough them, then this loan is forgiven?
Yep. So if you use that $250,000, let's just say in that 8 weeks right after you get it, and it just goes to payroll, that $250,000 loan is completely forgiven, right? And you pay the owner too. So as the owner of the company, you get paid too. There is a cap to some degree on the loan calculation on what counts as your compensation, but that's a little bit outside of here. But we just, you know, we determined it's $250,000 you're going to get. You spend that $250,000 to maintain payroll, pay your rent, pay your utilities. That $250,000 is forgiven. And interestingly, in this case, right, typically forgiveness of loans is actually taxable income. Here, that is non-taxable income. So it's just forgiven, no tax consequences associated with it.
As we sum this up, really, because of the shutdown, because of the quarantine, where a lot of businesses, basically, we were forced to shut down, that creates a big hole in the economy. Really, what the government is trying to do here is say, keep those employees, don't let them go. And if you do, we're going to give you the money to maintain those people and keep them on the payroll. So when this starts up, we're in a position to reboot the economy.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, this is really about protecting the economy so it can run again once things are ready to move. So they're trying to protect companies right now, keep them in as intact as possible so we can reboot. If everyone, right, if every company shuts down and all the employees get laid off, it's a lot slower to recover. So essentially, right, the government is saying, hey, we're going to fund this because we know the long-term benefits are worth it. I think the other thing, and again, I would say work with your local bank or whatever bank that you do business with when you're getting these loans. There is a capability. Let's say it was February 20th and you said, look, we're shut down. I got to lay off employees. And so you laid off employees because there wasn't any relief coming at that point. Well, fast forward, this bill does say you can reinstate people by June 30th and actually still get forgiveness. So there are some companies that might rehire the people they laid off and pay them through this program and actually qualify for the loan forgiveness. So that's another thing. And I'd say work with your bank on that because they're going to be the one that's going through the process, the application, gathering this information about payroll and employees with you. And to be honest, all the different banks are using different, you know, they're asking for different information. Even though the government's application has been standardized, the bank side has not. They're all kind of doing their own information gathering. And so work with them if you're going to apply to this. But that's a possibility there too, to actually reinstate payroll as of what you had at February 15th.
All right. Well, listen, Jamie, as we close, if our listeners like to follow the work that you do, and you do cover retirement extensively, how can they do so?
Yeah. So easiest two ways to follow me, and then I'll give a third one to reach out is at Retirement Risks on Twitter. My website is jamiehopkins.com, jamiehopkins.com, and then jhopkins@carsongroup.com in case you want to email me. But the other two ways are the best ways to follow me.
All right, Jamie. Well, listen, thanks for coming on the program and updating our listeners. Appreciate it. And you stay safe, my friend.
Always appreciate being on here. Thanks again.
You bet. Bye-bye. You know, once again, if you have, let's say, a parent that's taken a distribution age 72, please send this program to them so they can find out. And also, if you're a business and are in a situation where the government has basically shut you down because, let's say, you're non-essential, you're a dry clean owner, whatever it is, do go online and talk to your banker because there's money out there right now, $350 billion to maintain your business so you don't have to suffer. Because really what the government is trying to do here, look, they just blew a hole through the economy. If businesses shut down and you lay off workers, it's going to be much tougher to reboot this economy. So they want to make sure that you're staying alive and healthy. So contact your banker. In the meantime, I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.